Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Adam, what's happening? It's Friday. It's always a little extra loose around these parts on a Friday. What's going on? Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network, as we set up shop inside of our beautiful studio. Quicken Loan Studio, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently here. Tiki Barber, Brandon Tierney, 3 hours every single day, Monday through Friday, 3 to 6, noon to 3 Pacific. Got a lot to get into, a lot of football, 855-212-4227. Some baseball over the weekend, some big matchups coming up as we start to shape up the pennant races. We'll continue with our sixth annual Tiki and Tierney Two-A-Days and preview the Colts and the Falcons today. What's happening, Tiki? How are you
good
today?
Man. Yep. Did you watch your games last night?
You know, I did. And we have to start with, there was a couple of things last night
that
were really interesting. First of all, Tom Brady looked like he was 25.
I know, like he didn't miss a beat, like he wasn't 41. And Cordarrelle Patterson, who's been a spot receiver at best in the 4 or 5 years that he's been in the National Football League, looked like a superstar. That's the Pats.
Next man up.
It's annoying. It really is annoying.
Still,
but that's
not
how
convinced
good they are.
It's a foreshadow. I'm not. You are more so than me.
Just because I need to be proven that it's
you need
not
to see them in the grave.
Well, not even in the
dirt
grave.
On their grave.
Exactly.
I got you.
Exactly.
They've actually climbed out.
They
of
climb
the grave
out of it every year. They get destroyed at the beginning of last year. Guess what? Yeah. They go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I know. Until there's no more oxygen in the casket.
Exactly.
You probably shouldn't throw aside the shovel. They are the Pats. I hear you. Although their first round pick, Isaiah Wynn, ruptured his Achilles.
Yeah.
So they lost a lot of players. Their first round pick is out for the year. That's a tough injury. But Brady looked phenomenal. Obviously, the Foles injury, which doesn't seem too severe, but is certainly not the way you want to start a season with your top two guys, certainly banged up and a little compromised at this point.
Yeah, that's why they bring in Bryce Petty, and even though he's not.
No, Hackenberg.
I mean, Hackenberg, not Bryce Petty. Christian Hackenberg, they bring him in, even though he's kind of just a camp arm, so to speak. But he's actually going to have to play in the next couple of weeks. But I got
to say. So as a Jets fan, I finally get to see him play.
Yeah, you're right. But, dude, Nate Sudfeld?
Looked good. Made some big-time throws. Yeah, he made some big throws.
Downfield throws, like serious on target. I was like, dude, who is this kid?
I know.
All of a sudden.
Like 40 yards downfield, not a dime.
You're right.
By the way, Santa, you all clean? What happened to you? You spilled your lunch? What happened with Santa D-Cell? What happened? He spilled his lunch? Was he going Chinese today? Hopefully it was nice and messy, Chinese or Italian. What were you eating today?
It was a quesadilla.
Quesadilla. Hopefully it was still melty and cheesy. What happened? You dropped it?
Sour cream and some salsa down my leg.
Was it like all on your hands and it just slipped, or were you
just
not paying attention?
I was carrying too much at once, and it just fell and it splattered everywhere.
Because you couldn't go back for a second trip, the 33 steps that it takes to go from your desk to the control room.
Wow. So you all good?
Yeah, I'll survive. Going right to the airport after this, so it's going to be interesting on the plane.
Oh, lovely.
Chi-town.
Is that your buddy with the boat?
Ooh. Oh,
a little different trip for Santa this time. Now he's accounted for. Back in the day, it was
shirtless
trip and
shirtless.
Yeah, right.
I will be shirtless. Though. I mean, I'm not a boat in the sun.
Sailing the high seas, you know, nothing, no responsibility, not accounted for. Now he's got his woman. Now is she going with you, or is this still just a guy's trip? She's going with you. Ooh.
Wow, it is fully changed here.
Get that knee pad,
what
bro.
What a difference.
You're getting down on one knee soon.
I know. What
Get
a difference a year makes for Michael Samter.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what a difference a year makes for the Jets quarterback position.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Let's get into this. You know, I know that the Jets aren't ready to win. I know that the Jets are far from a marquee team, certainly at this point. But they very well might have the most interesting quarterback situation in the league. I mean, they got the quarterback that most teams wanted. Mm-hmm. And I truly believe that if you polled every NFL team and they had the first overall pick and they were inclined to take a quarterback, that most people would have taken, the majority would have taken Darnold over Mayfield, Rosen, Allen, whomever, Lamar Jackson. He would have been the guy.
Except for Cleveland.
Except for the Browns. No, of course. They're the ones who actually had the pick and they didn't take him. So I hear you. So he's looked really good. You can see his eyes quickly going from the right to the left, hitting his progressions, that third and three, that bullet pass, which wound up going for about 13 or 14 yards with in-between traffic. I think a real foreshadow of his future. He's going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm more confused than I was.
About who should start?
I'm more confused. Yes, to answer it directly. But here's why.
Well, let me ask you real quick before you get into your thinking and maybe confuse yourself even more. Do you think that your Jets have a chance to be good this year?
Define good. Playoff relevant?
As you're pushing down to the season, they're at or above 500 and maybe have an outside shot at getting to the postseason.
With that offensive line, which is bad, mm-hmm. and that lack of natural pass rush, which is non-existent, my answer is no.
Okay. So that changes how I will respond
okay.
to your conundrum.
Okay. So I've come to the conclusion here at this point now, Teek, that I think Teddy Bridgewater has more value to other teams in season
mm-hmm.
when teams are desperate
mm-hmm.
as opposed to now when teams are thinking depth security.
Right.
Okay.
Somebody's going to get hurt. They're not going to have a quarterback. Their backup is going to be incompetent. And
yeah.
they're going to say, we should have went and got X
correct
or Y player when we had the chance.
That's what I'm thinking, especially if yeah. it's a team where their GM's not overly secure, their head coach isn't overly secure, they've got to make some progress, maybe get a wild card, otherwise they might get fired. They're entering the end of a contract. I mean, there's a lot of variables. And for a long time, I actually thought, and I said this 5 weeks ago, that I really thought Darnold would be ready to start and that he should start. Like, I would, as my partner, you know that I was on that train.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Way in advance, more than most. I mean, I really thought he would be ready. I still think he's ready. This is not anti-Darnold. It's more a reevaluation or a reshaping of their situation. And I don't know if I want Darnold to get smashed around behind that offensive line.
But here's the thing.
And
it's
he's
not,
going to.
It's not going to change. And I tell you something, BT, it will teach him things. Most importantly, how to get the ball out of his hands. Now, there's one thing that you look at, like for in the preseason. You look for all the things that you're talking about from a quarterback. Is he making smart decisions? For the most part, Sam Darnold has made great decisions.
Yeah.
Does he feel...
The one pick was a deflection.
Not a good throw anyway, but still. It was just a misread. I think it was a misanticipation of what a man linebacker was going to do, right?
Okay.
I think he knew it was man coverage,
mm-hmm.
but he didn't expect the linebacker to come across the way that he came across because the back went across. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Usually
the linebacker just stays there.
Mm-hmm.
You lose your coverage responsibility. You just kind of hang out, mm-hmm. and you're an extra defender. Instead, the linebacker ran across, and when he tried to sneak it in there, and by the way, it was a stupid play call, and I think the coaches owned up to it. It got tipped and intercepted, right? But anyway, he sees mm-hmm. defense.
He does.
He recognizes. He gets the ball out of his hand.
Yeah.
And the most important thing, BT, is he's not making dumb decisions. Now, his yards per attempt, which is a number that I always look at. Some people don't. A lot of people discount it. But it's how many yards is he getting per pass attempt is really low.
Yeah, it's low.
It's
like 5.4, right?
Like two yards below the league average.
Yeah.
Low. And it's because... he doesn't want to make the stupid play, and it's a conscious thing,
mm-hmm.
I think, because we know what the negatives of Sam Darnold were coming out of USC.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to try to make the hero play.
Mm-hmm.
You can't make the hero play.
And fumbles, really loose with the one hand when he was
exactly.
out of the pocket.
But you can't make the hero play in the NFL because guys are too good,
mm-hmm.
right? You're a little bit late, you throw it across your body, whatever. There's zero chance it's getting through
mm-hmm.
in the National Football League. So he's doing all the smart things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the benefit of that is it with a bad offensive line, you're learning early, I got to be smart and get rid of the ball, right? Or take the sack or throw it away, whatever it may be. And to do that for a season, and this is why I asked you that question, on a team that's likely not going to make the postseason is actually the best way to learn. And so I hear what your reservation is, but I think it's actually a good thing for him to realize that these guys aren't going to protect me. I got to be quick, right? I got to be smart. Even if it takes a year. And who knows if they gel at some point? Who knows if they get a run game
mm-hmm.
established and all of a sudden teams are backing up instead of bringing pressure as they always like to do on young quarterbacks? I think the best thing he can do is play in front of a bad offensive line for the first part of his career. Because that way he learns the right way
yeah.
how to be a really good quarterback.
If it doesn't ruin him. That's what I'm going to flip back to you, and I'm going to defer to you on this. Mm-hmm. If you go in...
I've seen it both ways.
I know you have. That's why I want you to set this straight here. When... And again, it's very subtle, but you watch him. He scans the field quick. Mm-hmm. He's going right to left, left to right, balls out, for the most part.
Yep.
A couple times, you know, there's immediate penetration, nowhere to go, and you do see him grab it with two, which is nice, which is a real departure from what he did at USC. My only fear is that he enters the season that way, still like going poised enough and intelligent enough to go through progressions, but then he gets hit enough where his eyes stop moving and he regresses.
Yeah, that's what happened to Danny Cannell with the Giants. He got hit so often that every snap he's looking here as opposed to looking there. And meaning looking down as opposed to looking up.
This is Cannell.
This is Danny
but
Cannell.
But did he see the field as well as Darnold does now? Like that? I know he didn't have the arm of Darnold, did he see the field?
He did, but it was different. You know what I mean? It was Danny played it at Florida State.
Yep.
He could just throw the rock up, and those guys were going to go snag it.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So if he had a covered player, it didn't matter. And so when he came to the Giants, it wasn't necessarily that, even though it's kind of hard to convince yourself that that's not the case in the NFL. And I think the fact of the Giants, and this is when I was there, didn't have a great offensive line those first couple of years, it ruined Danny Cannell. Because he could never, again, trust what was in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even remember what happened to him once he left us. But obviously, his career didn't turn into anything great. And so there is a fear. But there's something about Sam Darnold. And I think it's this, it's like an Eli thing. Not the, I don't care. But it's more like he's not affected.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He doesn't get high. He doesn't get low. Mm-hmm. He's not emotionally all over the place. He doesn't get excited, but he also doesn't get depressed.
Yeah. Like that. It's also a very early read. I mean, it's middle of August.
But
he's not 1-5.
But you can hear him in his conversations.
No, I love what I hear and I love what I see. But I just worry about regression. Hmm. And then it becomes irreparable.
Yeah.
I think that certain guys, I think certain guys are kind of immune to that.
Mm-hmm.
Like when a guy like Jamarcus Russell comes into the league who just didn't have that skill set,
right.
that prism, that,
no,
that,
he didn't
that
have
purview.
He didn't have the mind.
He didn't have the mind. He didn't have the he didn't have the mind. He just didn't see the field and all that stuff.
Don't sugarcoat it in any other way.
I hear you.
He wasn't smart enough to do it.
You're knocking back the purple zit. What was it called? The purple...
Yeah, exactly. The scissor.
The purple drink. D-cell quick on that. You ever sample a D-cell? What is that again? It's just Kool-Aid and NyQuil? Is that what that was?
I don't remember.
There
was a couple of them back in the day that were just stupid.
I hear you. But there's certain guys who, and he's one of them for sure, and there's a Kelly Smith, I go on and on forever, that if they don't have immediate success and forward momentum, they're finished.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're just not at a place from the vision point of view where I don't believe that they can recover from that.
Yeah.
I think a guy like Sam Darnold is.
Yeah.
I think a guy like even Teddy Bridgewater coming out of Louisville, you know, back in the day, had that savviness, that ability to rebound from poor circumstances. My greatest concern with this team, and I just outlined primarily what it is, you know what I really don't like?
Mm.
The guy who's making the decisions. You know where I stand on Todd Bowles.
Yeah, of course.
I don't think he's going to be the guy to elevate the Jets to anything meaningful. I've said that for years. I hope I'm wrong. If I am, I'll be happy because it's my team. But I don't think I will be. But he is in self-preservation mode. And I wonder whatever decision he makes, whether it's Darnold or whether it's Teddy Bridgewater, how much of that will be rooted in what's best for Todd Bowles versus what's best for the New York Jets?
Yeah,
that worries me.
What's interesting is what's probably best for Todd Bowles and the Jets to win right now is Josh McCown. You know what I mean?
But you think Josh is better than Teddy?
I think he's more stable. I think he's just aware. He's had success, and it's been the last couple of years. He's actually been really good.
Yeah.
So if it's what's best for the Jets and Josh their head coach is Josh McCown, but that's unpopular. People don't want to see that.
Nah, we don't want to see. He's 38 years old.
I agree. He's he's the perfect backup.
It's coach.
Slash coach.
Coach McCown.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so they're going to have to make a tough decision, and it's one of the most interesting ones in the National Football League because the other ones they're either playing themselves out, meaning you're relegated to backup, whether that's right or not.
Mm-hmm.
Cleveland. But it still feels like this is one where a rookie quarterback can play and actually be okay doing it.
Hmm.
It's interesting. It really is.
Hmm. I just worry that since you don't have anything emotionally invested in this team, you're a little more willing to let it fly.
And then
deal with the repercussions if he gets squashed like a bug on the road.
If he does, he does.
If he does, he does. That's not a good enough answer. If he dies, he dies, like in Rocky. If he does, he does.
He'll learn from it. And at the end of the day, that's the most important thing. He'll learn from it.
All right. 855-212-4227. Tiki and Tierney Show. We'll get to Brady. He looked phenomenal. We'll get to the Foles situation. What do the Eagles do here? Training camp, 2 days. Tiki and Tierney, 2 days. We have the Colts. We've got the Falcons today. Urena gets 6 games. We'll circle back to that. Was it the right punishment for his actions? We spent a good chunk of the show. We led the show yesterday with this, with the Acuna-Urena situation. And Elway and Kaepernick, you better believe we're hitting that as well. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
This upcoming and soon-to-be NFL season, FanDuel has more ways to win than ever before. FanDuel's got a brand new tool, and it's called Guru. Who can't like that? To help you pick your lineup so you can make smarter picks and feel more confident going into game day. Here's how you do it. You start by picking any player and then let Guru guide you through the rest. So if you pick a quarterback, for instance, Guru will use its tested DFS strategies to recommend the best wide receivers and tight end to pair with them. New players, try FanDuel today and get a $20 bonus when you make your first deposit. Just sign up. It's FanDuel.com/CBS Sports. That's FanDuel.com/CBS Sports.
All righty, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way to save some money. Just switch to GEICO. Go to GEICO.com, and it's 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. Tiki and Tierney, Friday. Football Friday, almost, kind of. Halfway to Football Friday. A quick thought on the new broadcast team for what's eventually going to be Monday Night Football.
Yep.
Joe Tessitore is phenomenal.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be great. He's a pro. He's adaptable. He's got nice energy. Great. Great choice. And I lauded it when they made it. Witten is eventually going to be great.
He's willing to talk. That's half the battle.
And he's got a powerful voice that cuts through.
Yep.
His voice resonates. It projects. The only problem, and he's got to learn the mechanics of TV, but that's natural.
Yeah.
Like, you can kind of almost hear him rushing to finish up a point when he could still finish it up, but that's just getting reps. That's natural. And the TV executives certainly know that. My only concern, and I really like Booger.
I do too.
Really like Booger. Smart, SEC, passionate guy. It feels like, you know, Booger and Witten are jousting for that second chair. And I don't know that that's fair to Jason Witten.
I agree. I thought the same thing. I was texting with Rondé about this as well. It just felt like it was too much back and forth between the sideline analyst and the studio analyst, the booth analyst. And obviously Lisa Salters is there as well.
She's great.
Yeah, she's fantastic. But it felt crowded. A rush down to the sideline to know us. Now, that may just be because it was the preseason.
Mm-hmm.
And in the preseason, there's so much more leeway to, as the game goes on, to just not care. Right? You're not worried about what's happening. Obviously, you got to call it. You got to call what's happening.
Sure.
But you're not analyzing everything that's happening in a preseason game like you would in a regular season game.
Mm-hmm.
So, we'll see.
We shall see. Here's the poll question. All right, so while most of the first-round quarterbacks appear destined to start the season on the bench, Sam Darnold's got a legit chance to start week one, but BT's leery, I'd throw myself in here, needs some direction. And not just from Jet fans. Like, I want to know what all football fans would do if the Jets were your team or this was your quarterback dynamic. A little leery given New York's porous offensive line. So if you were running the Jets, who would you hand the ball to? Darnold, choice one, Teddy B., choice two, Coach McCown.
Coach McCown.
And that's how we put it. It's choice three.
Right.
By the way, and I remember watching Sudfeld, and I had to look it up to remember exactly what game it was, at Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember it was an ABC game, and I didn't know if it was 2015 or 2016. I looked it up. It was 2015.
Yep, that was his last season, his senior year.
And that was the year, and it was early October, and I'm looking at it now, that the number one Buckeyes rolled in to Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember tweeting something along the lines of, I don't think I've ever seen an Indiana home game on that wasn't on like ESPN3.
It's interesting.
Like it was a national game.
I hear you.
And the place was popping. And I'm like, man, this little guy's fast. And now you see him make the throws that he made last night. Maybe the Eagles don't have to make a move. I thought they may have been inclined to have to do that with Foles, but he looked pretty good.
No, I don't think they do need to make a move because, look, some of the things that you don't know, you don't know until you know them, right? Can this kid make throws, most importantly? And he can. Mm-hmm. Nate Sudfeld can make the throws. Like the 17-yard touchdown, I forget who the receiver was, but it was perfectly placed. And then he had another one deep down the middle of the field. He read the safety movement out of the middle just perfectly. Maybe it was a second late, but still, it was a cannon, right? The kid's got an arm, and he's athletic. And to be honest with you, they'll find out, because it looks like he's going to end up starting the next preseason game. Carson Wentz isn't ready, and they should not rush him, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are talking about get him ready for week one of the NFL. Absolutely not. You don't win the Super Bowl week one of the NFL season.
Nor do you lose it.
Exactly. So, well, you can if you lose your quarterback.
Oh, that, well, yeah, I meant that from a game. Yes, true.
I don't know the extent of what happened with Nick Foles. I mean, mm-hmm. it's an odd injury. You don't see it very often, where you go back to throw and you get the ball stripped, but it's, I don't know, he came down immediately, right?
I saw a rotator. I see baseball when I see that.
I agreed, but it was immediate, though. You know what I mean? It's not like he was like, oh, this is a little sore a couple of plays later. It was immediate, like, oh, something just happened. And when it's an acute injury like that, they don't heal quickly. Mm. My point is, Nate Sudfeld's going to end up starting the third preseason game for the Philadelphia Eagles, which, I mean, that's supposed to be the one where your starters get the most burn.
Yeah.
I don't see him starting the regular season, but the Eagles are in a little bit of a, I don't know, they're in a spot. I won't call it a predicament, but they're in a spot right now that was unforeseen, you know, 5-6 weeks ago when they were trying to figure out whether or not Carson Wentz was going to be the starter. And, oh, yeah, don't matter if he isn't, because our Super Bowl hero, Nick Foles, is still on this squad.
Big Nick.
Yeah, Big Nick.
Yeah.
Big Richard they've
got the luxury of timing, yes, but it's a little bit of a dilemma.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what they could do is they'll play Sudfeld the entire first half, week three, get a better read against first team defense, mm-hmm, right? And then from there, like, I really hope Foles is okay, but just say it's one of those things that doesn't pop up right away. The MRI and the MRI tube doesn't spit it back immediately. It's a little inconclusive,
yep,
or it's a little misread. And say in a week we find out, God forbid, it's the labrum. It's something in the shoulder, and it's serious.
Mm-hmm.
Then at that point, you still let Sudfeld play, but then at that point you'd probably have to call the Jets about Bridgewater.
Mm.
You'd have to.
Yeah.
Like, if Foles is hurt for a while, and I don't think he's going to be, but if he is, don't you have to trade for Bridgewater?
You have to go get somebody who's proven, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Unless in the next 3 weeks, until opening day, next 3 weeks, Carson Wentz makes unbelievable strides, but he has not been cleared for contact yet. You see him doing a lot of these drills, like the training camp drills. He still looks a little hampered. Not like he's hurt.
Mechanical?
Just like he's very deliberate with his steps and trusting of his knee. As any person who would tear their ACL, especially as late as he tore his in the season, would be, particularly for a quarterback, because you got to stand in there and get hit. So they can't rush him back. And if Nick Foles is down for a while, they do have to go look at the market right now.
Did you think, I can't prove this, but I remember when Teddy was with Minnesota early,
yep,
and watching him. And there was a thought at one point he might be the first overall pick, if you remember.
Yeah.
Early at Louisville, like, you know, midway through his second, going into his third year. Obviously taking 32nd overall. And he's highly efficient, 65-ish%, smart, tucks it when he needs to, quick, but not an uber athlete, not a lead arm talent. Does his arm look better?
It feels better, yeah.
It looks a little bit better.
He just gets stronger. He was young. Remember how frail he was?
Yeah, he was really thin.
I mean,
really
he was, like, really skinny. And you know, that was one of the knocks on him. It's probably why he fell in the draft. One, that he was too thin,
yep,
so he wasn't going to be able to play right away.
Bad pro day, if you remember that. Really bad pro day.
He had small hands.
Yep.
Like, all these things that you key on, but you don't make decisions upon. And so he fell. And so, obviously, he knew his weakness. He says, I got to get stronger, got to get bigger. And that's a testament to him.
Yeah.
But he did. He looks good. He looks really good.
I know he does.
The touchdown that he threw was right on time.
It's a great throw.
You know, beneath the corner or beneath the safety that was dropped down and in front of the corner or the other safety that was over top. It was a perfect throw.
Mm-hmm.
He looks confident. Again, he scrambles when he needs to. But
and he got hit hard.
Exactly. Keeps his eyes downfield.
Took one in the knees early.
Yep.
And you know that opposing teams want to see that.
Of course.
He got hit in the knees. You're like, ooh.
Yeah.
Because he said, I want to get hit.
But he was fine.
No, he was fine. He was fine. So the intrigue is thickening. You never know. Mm-hmm. I mean, listen, we've seen a million stories. Sudfeld could turn out to be a star.
Yeah, right.
I mean, did you think that Nick Foles would win the Super Bowl?
No.
No.
No. Nobody
thought that.
That's why they were underdogs in every game that he played in,
that's
including
true.
The Super Bowl.
That's right. 855-212-4227. I'll tell you who wasn't an underdog. He was actually thought to be really, and I think the evidence would back this up, among the more talented quarterbacks we've seen in the last 20, 25 years coming out of school, Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
He's back. He's healthy. He's throwing it. I'm going to chat with one of his wide receivers. We'll preview the Colts. That is coming up next in 6th Annual Tiki and Tierney 2 Days. In the second hour, we'll do the Falcons. We'll get to the Urena and the Acuna situation. 6 games for Urena. Did they get it right? Inbounds, out of bounds. We'll do that in hour number 2. Tweets at Tiki and Tierney. Check in on the poll question. We'll do all that and more. Jay Berman's update is right now. Here's Jay. All righty, time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Here's how you do it. Tweet us on CBS Sports Radio. Use the hashtag Ask the Pros. Pretty simple. Tweet at CBS Sports Radio, hashtag Ask the Pros. And make sure you listen later on to the show. Tiki and I will answer the best one here on Tiki and Tierney, so make it good. Inspire us to use it. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs. Guarantee low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. You know what I meant to check? Mike, how did our boy Brant Snedeker follow up his 59? I didn't see where. did he not do well?
Well, I didn't see the update, but I was looking. I was talking to Tiki earlier this morning,
yeah.
And through 8, he was even.
And I was
so
like,
he was
even?
Still at minus
like,
11 and tied for first.
Plus 11 and 4 holes?
Let's
no, but
see.
I'll see the update right now.
Oh, I got it. Okay, I got it now. He is he's even through 11. Boy, it you just see the round 1, you know how they list them, and then you see a 59, and it looks, wow, it just looks so weird. But he's in third place. Well, he's tied for first, I should say, with CT Pan, DA points. So it's the last one before the FedEx Cup. Got that over the weekend on CBS. We'll see if he can get hot again. We had him on the show yesterday, which was pretty cool. You know, I said the other day that I think the Giants, remember you and I picked out 3 teams, really intriguing situations?
Yeah.
Where I think the Giants have, you know, as much wiggle room where if they went 5-11, I don't know that people would be stunned. If they went 11-5, nobody would be stunned given their prolific offensive weapons.
You're
and
right.
Their propensity, at least theoretically, mm-hmm. to score points. I don't know that the Colts have quite that same gap, but if there's one team that I just, in addition to the Giants,
yeah.
I don't really know what to expect from
yeah.
the Colts.
Well, you know, the reason why is because if you go look at their roster, and it's obviously about Andrew Luck because it's a quarterback-driven league, and especially a team like the Colts, it really is about their quarterback. And T.Y. Hilton's a good player. And I'm just talking on the offensive side of the ball right now, BT. But if you go look at their roster, and I did this earlier today, it's like, you know, cap casualty. How did you acquire players? Cap casualty. You know, street free agent. You know, trade. Unrestricted. There's nobody there that they drafted. You know, so it's not like, other than T.Y. and Andrew Luck. So it's not like they have a ton of players you just have a familiarity with or that have played together for a long time. And so when you have situations like that, it's just, you don't know, right? It could work out. They could be fantastic. Yeah. Or they could be terrible because they just don't gel. And the biggest one, obviously, is Andrew Luck. And as soon as he's fully healthy, and we think he is, at least according to what we've seen so far in training camp. But again, that's a big if. It's a really big if.
Yeah, I mean, they have to. They took Quentin Nelson in the draft, right?
Yep.
He's got a pop.
Yep. Exactly.
Stud from Notre Dame.
So the one that you do know, he's a first year. So
yeah.
I think he'll be fine.
I do,
especially because he's an interior lineman. He's not on the edges, but still.
Mm-hmm. They've got, let's see. Yeah, they picked up Ebron. You almost forgot about him. You know, Ebron just wasn't what we thought he'd be out of Carolina.
Yep.
The Lions picked him.
Still only 25 years old. I mean, he's a young man.
That's true. I think that was the draft with, remember the Jets wound up getting Jason Morrow. Mm-hmm. There was like 3 or 4 tight ends that came out. So you got Ebron, you got Hilton, you've got Grant as one of the other wideouts. Chester Rogers is in the mix there as well, for sure. I don't know. I mean, maybe if it was a division that was, less, potent. I mean, I think that's probably a good word for the AFC South.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. No, because Jacksonville's supposed to be really good. Tennessee's new head coach, but they're still supposed to be pretty good. It's just, there's no easy outs, so to speak, in the division. It used to be owned by the Indianapolis Colts. And that's not the case
anymore.
It was garbage
for a couple of years. Let's call it for what it was.
Yeah.
No, straight
the division,
garbage.
The division.
Garbage.
Yeah, you're right. Colts and everybody else.
Yeah, it's true. Okay, so one of the unknowns, of course, the great Andrew Luck. The shoulder looks pretty good. He's starting to zip it a little bit. Time now to roll with our sixth annual Tiki and Tierney 2-a-days. The Colts on the radar.
The 2018 NFL season is upon us, and it's time for our sixth annual Tiki and Tierney Training Camp 2-a-days as we visit all 32 NFL camps to preview the upcoming season.
Indianapolis Colts, 4-12, third in the AFC South. Andrew Luck is finally back after missing all of 2017.
I feel like I'm in a much better place. I mean, I'm the best I've felt in a long, long time. I've got work to do still. I've got things that I have to do. I mean, there are things that I'm going to have to go out and prove to myself. And that, to me, is exciting. It's not intimidating. I'm nervous. But, yeah, I feel a lot better.
And the Colts made upgrading the offensive line a top priority, drafting Quentin Nelson and Braden Smith in the first two rounds. Tight end Eric Ebron has impressed in camp, and last year's first-round pick Malik Hooker leads a young yet talented defense. Can a healthy Luck lead the Colts back to the postseason?
All right, of course, Hooker from Ohio State, so those are some names you certainly know. One you might not know, but maybe has as much intel as anybody in the Colts organization. His name is Chester Rogers. He's obviously on the team. He could be the second wide receiver. If he's not, he's going to be three, but he's going to get reps.
Mm-hmm.
And he was really with Luck most of the summer out in California throwing. So we say, you know what? Let's get him on the show, see what's going on. He's really good buddies with Andrew Luck. He's got a good sense of where he is. And he is Chester Rogers of the Colts, their wideout. Chester, how are you today, buddy? What's happening?
I'm good. How you doing?
Doing okay, man.
Yeah, we are. You know, we hear these stories about you working out in this offseason with Andrew Luck, and all we could do was speculate because there was not a lot of information coming out. But you saw it early. How soon into your, I guess it's out at Stanford, at the University of Stanford, your workouts with Andrew Luck, could you tell that he was back to normal, if normal is the right word to use?
Honestly, it was quick, you know. Like right when we started working out, even just from warm-ups, you know, we doing like little passes warming up, and I can see the zip on the ball. I'm like, oh, wow, Andrew's back, you know, compared to when he tried to come back last year off his surgery, came back a little early, and, you know, seeing him throw, it was totally different. And he took his time and did his rehab, and I can see that he's back.
Now, you're going into your third year, so you saw him 1 year when he was fine, and he got banged up at the end of that year. Last year, obviously, he didn't play at all. But relative to your first year, your rookie season, how does he look?
Like I said, I mean, he's Andrew. Like my first year, he wasn't 100%, but he still was, you know, considered a top quarterback in this league. And when Andrew's on the field, he makes, you know, everybody's job easier. So
yeah.
To have him back out there, I still feel like he's the same, if not better. You know, I'm going to go with better, honestly. He's stronger. You know, he's always been as smart as anybody I know. So, I feel like he's the same. He's Andrew.
Now you went to Grambling State, so you were a big time college a player. You were a free agent coming to the Indianapolis Colts. How in the world did you end up being the only guy out there working with Andrew Luck?
Well, yeah, I mean, me and Ty, you know, was his only two receivers to come back. You know, the last time he played, and
yeah,
just having that relationship, you know, with Andrew, he felt comfortable. Obviously, you know, he had Ty for almost 6 years, so. You know, he already got the chemistry with him, and he wanted to, you know, continue on the chemistry that we had from that first year. So we just linked up, and he wanted me to come out there, and it was a no-brainer. I made the trip.
It's probably a pretty smart business move on your part,
yeah,
Chester.
Right?
Just saying, nah, can't be bothered, Andrew. Well, I'm going on vacation.
Chester, let me ask you, how valuable was it for you? I mean, because that's rare to get that opportunity where it's just you. You know what I mean?
It's great.
Oh, yeah, man, I took, you know, full advantage of it, you know, getting chemistry with my quarterback, man, going into, you know, it's a big year for me, you know, coming off of, I had injuries last year, you know, I came back and I contributed, but, you know, going into my third year is big to get that chemistry with Andrew, and I took full advantage.
Okay, so we're talking to Chester Rogers, of course, for the Colts, and anytime Andrew Luck's got a little zip on the fastball, that means the Colts have a chance.
You're right.
And when that wing is not right, Colts don't have much of a chance the way it goes in the NFL. But let's branch out and hit the rest of the team. Frank Reich, style. How different is he from Coach Pagano, who was let go right after the end of the season, who you played for? Mm-hmm. What's he like day to day? Is he really enthusiastic and loud? Just give us a sense of what Frank Reich is like style-wise.
I mean, they're two great coaches. You know, I had Chuck my first 2 years, but the difference I would say is that, you know, he's the offensive coach and Chuck was the defensive coach. So I spend way more time with Frank. He's in every meeting. He has intel. He's given us knowledge. And, you know, every single meeting that we have, and just to learn from him, knowing that, you know, he's won championships and he's done this on, you know, every level. You know, he's a great guy. He's a great coach. You know, a lot of energy, and he's a player. He's a coach. You know, player like. Is that coach that you would want, you know, for a team. So I'm happy to have him.
Yeah, I mean, he was with some really good players. I mean, he was with Rivers. He was with the Eagles, of mm-hmm. course. His resume is really good. What do you think? It's probably too early to have a definitive feel for it, but what do you hope that the identity of the 2018 and eventually beyond Colts, what do you think the identity is going to become?
Identity, I mean, just I can speak for the whole team. I mean, you know, we're going to come out there and we're going to be a tough team. We're not the one, you know, a lot of people are sleeping on us. A lot of people are, you know, not giving us a chance at all. But we're definitely going to be a tough-ass team. We're going to come out and put points on the board, you know. So I know I can speak for the offense, you know, because that's the side I'm on. We're definitely going to come out and put up points.
All right.
And that's what we're going to work. That's what we're going to do.
Yeah,
I like it. Boy, Chester.
That's the only way to be. You got to be confident. Does Coach Wright talk about his experience last year, like winning the championship, what they did, you know, how hard it was? Does he talk about that? Because it's valuable, but I don't know if it's something you could go to the well to all the time. You know what I mean?
No, honestly, I mean, it's kind of, you know, what's understood, you know, I guess doesn't need to be explained. He doesn't talk about the Eagles or his last year.
Yeah.
We just, you know, we trust him, and we know he went through it. So everything he says, you know, we're going to listen, and he's just bringing that, you know, that experience here.
You know what I wanted to ask you? The other day, somebody in your division made a lot of noise, a lot of news. And I think you know what I'm talking about here about the chuckle. Jalen Ramsey, who is never reticent to express himself, which is good for a business, but it also draws a spotlight to his team. And I know his team didn't appreciate it. That actually came out. What is he like on the field? I mean, you've gone up against him a few times here. Is he that way? I think he is, but I'd love to hear from somebody who actually straps it on, has played against Jalen Ramsey, and that defense, which in large part has been positioned as one of the best in the NFL, Chester. What are the Jaguars like?
Yeah, man, I give respect, you know, where it's due. You know, they are what they are, like, advertised, and they're not, you know, a fluke. They're one of the great, you know, one of the better defenses in this league, and, you know, I like going against them. The comments he made about Andrew – hey, I mean, I guess it's self-promotion. You know, you got to put the spotlight on yourself. But if we're going to be serious, you know, the last time Andrew played and we played against Jacksonville Jaguars, he won. So, I mean, I don't know how confident you can be, you know, talking about Andrew. But, I mean, you know, we got a season coming up and, you know, you got to show action. So, I mean, I love it.
Yeah,
I love the competition. I love the talk.
Nice. But does billboard material even exist anymore? Do you guys even do that? You know what I mean? Do you remember? Can you believe what he said? You guys don't do that anymore,
nah,
do you?
Nah, we don't. Nah, we don't pay attention to it.
Yeah.
You might see it run across your phone on Twitter or something, but we don't feed into it.
Yeah, it's just so much. It's almost.
It's more for the. I guess it's more for the media, you know. So.
Well, I guess. It's a little bit for the media, but a lot of times it's generated by the players themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, see, back in the day, the media used to have to kind of stir the pot to get things going. Now the players are kind of doing it. It's a totally different dynamic, which is interesting.
Yeah.
You know.
You're right.
It's Chester Rogers with us, wide out for the Colts, Tiki and Tierney.
Hey, Chester, we've been having a lot of fun over the last couple of days because of Hard Knocks. You guys watch Hard Knocks? You guys watch, you know, how other teams interact in that kind of a medium?
Man, I haven't got a chance to watch like a full episode, but I've seen a few clips. And, hey, it's kind of, you know, to see the inside of other training camps, I mean, it's kind of dope, but I don't really get to pay attention too much.
Yeah, because I always wonder, like, it feels fake. When I was playing, and it started to come out when I was still playing, it felt like, this is not real. I don't believe anything you see. And nowadays, we feel like we're evaluating teams based on this nonsense that's coming out of it. And so when I think about, you know, the dynamics of players now versus, you know, a decade ago or so ago, do you guys care much about social media and all those other things that are going out there?
Honestly, I mean, I guess it differs on the person. I mean, I don't feed into it because at the end of the day, social media is not going to, you know, get you W's, you know what I'm saying, in the season. And you just can't feed into all of it because you can't get too high, you can't get too low. And social media will really mess your mind up if you feed into it too much. So I don't, honestly.
Good.
Yeah, listen, man, you just trying to carve out a long career. You've been scrapping and fighting for every crumb you've gotten so far, coming from Grambling and not getting drafted. A lot of respect, man. So stay healthy. Have a good couple of weeks leading up to week one. And by the way, last time Luck played the Jaguars, our boy Mr. Rogers here had four catches for about 80 yards against that Jaguar secondary. So we like see it. You there, buddy. Yeah. We see you, Chester. Thanks for hopping on, man.
Thanks.
Okay. Chester Rogers.
Yeah, Andrew Luck also had 320 and two touchdowns.
A little bit of a different Jaguars team,
yeah,
to be
course,
fair,
but still.
Yeah.
Still.
Oh, man. I can't wait for the season. This is going to be fun. We say that every year.
Mm-hmm.
This one feels different. We also say that every year.
But there's so many young quarterbacks this season.
We've said that before, too.
I know, but just...
I think everything we can say, we've already said. I hear you.
But there's different. More that we care about this year.
I'll agree with that. Hour two coming up.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.